God is good all the time. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord at our 1 p.m. service. Again, we welcome you. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, are we releasing the youth today? Let's. Any teenagers in the house to go to the youth group, you could release with Pastor Marquise and Lorraine. And those that are staying in the sanctuary, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 17. As you're turning there, don't forget next Sunday is Father's Day. So I want to invite you to bring a father, bring a son, bring somebody who needs Jesus. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. When everybody's there, say amen. All right. It reads like this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. How many know the days are evil? Verse 17 is our emphasis this afternoon. Therefore, do not be foolish. Stop acting a fool. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand. Someone say understand. Yes. But understand what the Lord's will is. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask for understanding of your word. Help us to discern your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm teaching today on the subject, how to discover God's will for your life. And one of the most important things you'll ever learn in life, or you should learn, is to discover God's will for your life. And I want to help you this afternoon to kind of go through a process whereby you could kind of nail down what God wants you to do with your life. If you haven't realized it yet, life is made up of decisions. Anybody learn that yet? That life is made up of decisions. One person says that we will make upwards to 35 decisions, 35,000 decisions a day. From the moment you wake up, you got to decide if you're going to brush your teeth or not. From the moment you wake up, you got to start making some decisions. Now, in life, there are small decisions and there are big decisions. But guess what? All decisions matter. All decisions matter. There are small decisions, but there's larger decisions. But at the end of the day, all decisions matter. And every now and then, you will be faced with life changing decisions. What life changing decisions? Do I leave my job or do I stay? Do I marry him or do I dump him? Do I go to college or do I go to trade school? Do I listen to Elvis or do I listen to Michael? Do I go with Kobe or do I go with Jordan? What's the answer? So the question is, how do we discover God's will for our life? When we read the text today in Ephesians 5:17, you'll learn that God invites us to know his will. That life doesn't have to be a mystery. That you can seek the Lord through prayer. You could seek the Lord through his word, and God will give you clarity as what you should do in life. Are you following along? And so I want to encourage us today. I want to encourage us today to seek the will of God for our life, because there's nothing more fulfilling than being in the middle of God's will. There's nothing more fulfilling than being in the center of God's will for your life. You could be discouraged. You could be heartbroken. The world could be against you. But if you are in the center of God's will, there's nothing more fulfilling than that. Now, to get there, discernment is the key. Someone say discernment. In order to get to the center of God's will for your life, discernment is a key. In fact, listen to this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Discernment is a key. It's very, very critical. In fact, if we could talk like family for a moment, one of the things that I believe our generation has lost is the ability to discern. One of the things that we need to pray for more than ever in our generation is the ability to discern, is discernment. Now, when you think of discernment, what is discernment? Discernment is the ability to know right versus wrong, truth versus error. I'm going to say that again. Discernment is the ability to know right versus wrong, truth versus error. And if there's anything that our kind of our generation has lost, it is the ability to discern. And so I want to encourage you this afternoon. If there's one thing we need to pray is, Lord, give me discernment. Lord, give me wisdom. Isn't that what Solomon prayed for when he was a little kid? And he came to the throne of Israel above riches, above gold. He turned to God and said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. And so as you go to make decisions in your life, I want to give you a guide to run every decision through. I want to give you a guide to run every decision through. And the first thing I want us to learn is that the Bible is our guide. Someone say the Bible. The Bible is our guide. I cannot assume that everybody knows this. I cannot assume that everybody knows this. And so I want to make it clear, and I want to kind of pound the pavement on this principle that the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, is to be our guide in this world. Above me, above the news, above your professor, above everything you hear, the Bible is to be our guide. Now listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture, someone say scripture. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. How many know that we need to be taught? How many know that sometimes we need to be rebuked? How many know that we need to be corrected? How many know that we need to be trained? Listen, if you are new to the faith, you need to understand that God wants to start retraining your thinking to live according to His scripture. Can I get an amen? And the Bible teaches us, it trains us, it rebukes us, it corrects us the more we learn it and the more we obey it. Are you following along? And so I want to encourage us today that the Bible should be our number one guide. It should be our number one guide in life. Not the stars, not the moon, not dreams, not the news, not rumors, not hearsay, not your feelings, not your emotions. The Bible, I'm going to say it again, should be our number one guide. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 49. He says, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I want to teach you a principle. Say this with me. The Word of God is the will of God. Say it again. The Word of God is the will of God. Listen, don't expect God to speak to you through dreams and angels and clouds if you don't obey His written word. Don't expect God to speak to you through any other means if you don't first obey His written word. I know in my journey serving the Lord, in two or three occasions, I would be in prayer. Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me direction. Lord, tell me what to do. Has anybody ever prayed that? Lord, give me direction. Speak to me. Tell me what to do. And I remember a couple of times, you know what God told me? He said, why are you asking me to say what I already said in my word? Why are you asking me to give you something else when I already spoke about that situation in my word? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? You see, my brothers and sisters, we need to realize that the Bible or God has already spoken about a lot of things that pertain to our life, and it's in his written word of God. God has already spoken. He's already spoken about a lot of things that pertain to our life, and it is written in the word of God. Are you following along? Now, you can go throughout the scripture and you find a lot of direction for what you want to do. I want to just shoot a couple things off on what God has already spoken about in his word. You know, the Bible, God already spoke about who you should hang around with. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, "Do not be misled. Bad company ruins good character." So he already told you about who you should hang around with. If you're hanging around with somebody who's shady, that's on you. You know, the Bible already talks about who you should marry. You know that? In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers." Listen, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to give you a word straight from heaven, right? If you're getting serious with somebody who is not a believer, dump him. I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens off of that. If you're getting serious with someone who is not a believer, dump her. I'm going to save you lots of grief. I'm going to save you 20 years of headache. And don't think you could save them. No, the Bible already gave us instructions. Don't team up with somebody who's an unbeliever because they will drag you down. If they don't share your morals and they don't share your values and they don't share your Jesus, they're just going to take you down. You know, the Bible talks about, already told us how to raise up our kids. In Ephesians 6:14, he says, "Bring them up in the training and the instructions of the Lord." You know, the Bible already talked about alcohol. I knew I wasn't going to get an amen on that. In Proverbs 20, verse 1, listen to this. It says, "Wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise." By the way, if you're having a challenge with alcohol, we have Celebrate Recovery Friday nights. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen, I believe in the power of counseling, right? If you need counseling, professional help, seek professional help. I believe in the power of education. Get as much education as you can get. But one thing I know without a shadow of a doubt, when I was kicked out of this society and I was in a one-man cell, my mind was messed up, my life was crushed, and everything about me was messed up. I didn't have a counselor and I didn't have no education, but what I did have was the Word of God. I had the Word of God, and it was the Word of God that transformed me. It was the Word of God that saved me. It was the Word of God that cleared my thinking. It was the Word of God that delivered me from depression. It was the Word of God that gave me wisdom. It was the Word of God that comforted me. It was the Word of God that gave me hope. It was the Word of God that did everything. I didn't have nothing but the Word of God. It was the Word of God that directed me in life. Listen to this. In Psalms 119:105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Listen, I want to get this in your spirit. I want you to get this. The Bible is to be your number one guide. Before you ask me, you better consult the Bible. You better consult the Bible. Number two, someone say number two. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide. In Galatians 5:25, it says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, listen to this. In the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit is to be our guide. One of the things you need to learn when you first start serving the Lord is how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not your emotions, not your feelings, not the news, not rumors, not hearsay, but you gotta learn how to be in step with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us, and one of the reasons why he left him for us was to guide us into all truth, was to lead us and to guide us, and we need to learn how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you some tips on how the Holy Spirit guides us. Write some of this down. I want to give you some tips. I want to teach you a little bit. Can I do that? Listen, he leads in steps, not miles. He leads in steps, not miles. Going back to Galatians, he says, "Keep in step with the Spirit of God." Now, hear me today. God rarely
God rarely shows you the entire picture when you start serving him. When you get to the beginning of your journey with God, he rarely gives you the entire picture of your journey at the beginning. Are you following along? Instead, what God does is he tells you to go, and as you go, he lights up the way. I'm going to say that again. When you start to serve the Lord, he rarely gives you the entire picture at the beginning of your journey. Instead, he tells you to go, and as you go, he lights up the way. But he waits until you obey the first step, until he gives you the second step, and the third step, and the fourth step. Are you following along? In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 37:23, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. In 1 Samuel 2:9, it says, he guards the steps of his faithful ones. The Spirit leads in steps, not in miles. What he does is he gives you a step, and then he steps back and sees if you'll obey him. And sometimes it takes us a year just to take one step. Some of you have been wrestling with God for five years just to take one step. When I first came to the Lord and I first started getting serious with the Lord and when I was in prison and my life was over and I started, you know, getting really serious with the Lord, and I remember several times I'll be in my cell and I'll make a declaration. I'll say, Lord, you know what? I'm committed to you. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I'm going to go wherever you want me to go. When I first started making them declarations, He did not show me what my life would be like today. Are you following along? When I first started making my declarations, God, Lord, I want to get serious with you. Lord, you know, now is the time. I'm going to start going to Bible study. I'm going to start reading my word. You know, I'm whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. When I first started making them declarations, he did not show me what my life is today. He didn't say, oh, Brian, you know what? You just made the best decision of your life, because 25 years from now, you're going to be wearing a suit. And 25 years from now, you're going to have three kids, and one is going to be Nathaniel, and one is going to be Sarah. He did not do that. You know what he did? He said, okay, you serious? I want you to take this step. Are you serious? I want you to take this step. And what he did was he stepped back. He said, I want to see how serious you are. And sometimes, for me, the first step was to get into his word. For me, the first step, God told me, he said, I want you to read my word. I want you to study. But God, I don't understand it, man. I didn't even have my GED. I dropped out of 10th grade. It doesn't matter. I want you to get in my word. And when I began to take that step, God gave me the next step. And then when I took that step, God gave me the next. Sometimes it took me 3 months to take one step. Sometimes it took me a year to take one step, but God was waiting. He was waiting. And when I took that step, he gave me the next step. When we started Chapel of Change in 2012, when we first started the church with one Sunday service at 12:30, we didn't know what it was going to look like today. God didn't say, hey, you're taking that step, and this is what you're going to look like 5 years from now. He didn't do that. No, we just took one step. When we took one step, eventually he told us another step, and then we took that step, and then when he told us another one, we took another one. And today, on Sunday, there's about 8 services across 4 different cities. Why? Because we took one step. And so I want to challenge you this afternoon. What is the step that God is having you to take? What is the step that God is wrestling you with? What is the step that he's been telling you? Is it to stop drinking? Is it to stop smoking? Is it to stop lusting? Is it to start going to Bible study? By the way, 2 Thursdays from now, I'm going to start a verse-by-verse Bible study through the book of 1 John on a Thursday night. It is the mid-year, and I want to challenge you to get serious with the Word of God and take this journey with me. This could be a next step for you. What is the next step that God has you to do? Another way that the Spirit leads is that he leads through conviction more than peace. Write that down. He leads through conviction more than peace. What do I mean by that? Well, a lot of people mistakenly will not take a step until they have full peace about a situation. Have you ever heard that? Somebody says, well, I don't want to do that because I don't have peace in my heart about it. Have you ever heard that? Well, I have learned through the scripture and through life that oftentimes God will tell you to do something in the face of fear. He'll tell you to do something in the face of doubt. He'll tell you to do something in the face of intimidation. And oftentimes, your peace won't come until after you obey. And so how God leads us is through a conviction. Like a conviction is a being resolved to do something. Like the Lord stirred you up. And you know what? I'm going to do this no matter what because God told me to do it. That is a conviction, that is a resolve, and that is how the Spirit leads us. And so I want to encourage somebody today, you need to do it in fear. Whatever it is, do it in fear. Sometimes you got to obey God shaken. Sometimes you got to obey God trembling, as long as you have the conviction that the Spirit gives you. Are you following along? So the third thing that you should process every decision through is leaders are a guide. Leaders are a guide. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, for the lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Now, I'm not going to take long on this point, but I do want to emphasize it because it's so important. And it's very critical. It's simple, yet it's difficult because oftentimes pride gets in the way. Anybody know about pride? If you don't know about pride, one of the signs you're operating in pride is you say all the time, I know. Pride always says, I know. You ever met somebody like that? Or maybe a little kid, you try to tell them what to do. I know, I know, I know. That is a sign of pride. And so leaders are a guide, but it's difficult to listen to other people because pride gets in the way. But I want to encourage us today is that you should never make any big decision without consulting people that are smarter than you. You shouldn't get married without leadership confirmation. Hello, somebody. You shouldn't quit your job without leadership confirmation. You shouldn't make big investments without leadership confirmation. God uses leaders to confirm his word. If you share your idea with three leaders and all three of them say it's a bad idea, it's probably a bad idea. It's probably a bad idea. You ain't got to get a revelation from God. He uses people to confirm his ideas. Now, here's the last guide that we need to run our decisions through, and that is called reality. Everybody say reality. Reality is also a guide. God uses circumstances to direct us. We can't just ignore bad circumstances and situations. We need to carefully weigh them out. We need to carefully weigh out our current reality in light of what the scripture says, in light of what the Spirit says, and in light of what our leaders say. In other words, don't just ignore your situation because it's uncomfortable. Maybe God is trying to tell you something through your situation. I think the problem with a lot of Christians is that we ignore our reality in the name of faith. We ignore our reality in the name of faith. But God uses situations and circumstances to speak to us. There's a theological word in the Bible. It's called providence. Everybody say providence. Providence means it is the divine setup of circumstances to perform God's will. It is the divine setup of circumstances to perform God's will. Listen to Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together. Someone say together. Together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, God uses all things. Good things, bad things, uncomfortable things, cold things, hot things, ugly things, all things. He uses all things to speak to us. He uses all things to guide us. He uses all things to lead us. And I want to encourage you today, before you make a big decision, look around you, look at your current reality, and see if God is trying to tell you something through your circumstance. In the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 5, the prophet prophesied that Jesus would be born in the city of Bethlehem. Hundreds of years before Jesus was to be born, the prophet Micah in chapter 5 prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. The problem was that when Mary, the mother of Jesus, was pregnant, she was in Nazareth, which was miles away from Bethlehem. Mary, who was about to give birth, was in Nazareth, who was miles away from Bethlehem. Do you remember how God moved Mary to Bethlehem? Does anybody remember how God moved Mary to Bethlehem? In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about a count or a census that the emperor commanded in all the land, and he ordered that everybody was to be counted. But in order for you to be counted, you had to go back to your hometown. Guess where Mary was from? Guess where Joseph was from? Bethlehem. And so God uses the circumstances to move Mary miles away to the city that he wanted her to be in. No Uber, no air conditioning, uncomfortable, rough. And I can imagine Mary being pushed by Joseph. She's about to have a baby. And I don't know if she was complaining, but everybody complains, right? Even the mother of Jesus had to complain sometime. Joseph, what are you doing? Why are we moving? I'm about to have a baby. But guess what? God was behind the circumstance, performing his will to accomplish in her life. And so as we close today, I want to challenge you. What is God trying to speak to you, to share with you through your circumstance? What's going on in your life that maybe you're ignoring because you thought it was of the devil? But in reality, it is of God, and he's trying to maneuver you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to push you forward. He's trying to speak into your life through that situation. And even though it's uncomfortable, even though it may be hard, but God is trying to speak to your heart. What is it that God is trying to tell you? Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for the next couple moments, I want us to reflect upon how the Lord spoke to us this afternoon. What was it that the Lord was trying to say to you, and how are you going to respond? Let's bow our heads.